Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, brethren. Thank you for tuning in to the Word of God through Jesus Christ Street and Outreach Broadcast. This is Apostle Alan E. Coleman, Jr. And tonight and in the early morning, we have two powerful shows coming back to back. And after these shows, this teaching series on the fivefold ministry is going to be over. Now, even though a lot of people have been really blessed by how God has been using the ministry, because of the theology class that the Lord uses the ministry to do, I'm very limited on how God has been using me as far as teaching on these gifts. They go into greater detail than what's been heard on in this teaching series on Blog Talk Radio. What I like to do, though, is I like to ask you to look on my wall, and you'll see the ministry's link. And it's also in the description of this show, and that you can look at the link for the ministry's website, and you can go on the ministry's website and you can enroll in the theology class if you're saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled with a calling on your life for ministry. But I'll talk about that in the next broadcast. But right now, I'd like to ask you in Jesus' name to turn your Bibles to John chapter 3. And we're also going to read Acts 18. So there's two scriptures that we're going to read. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I just like to ask you to turn there. And while you're doing that, we're going to do, as is in the custom, to read the description of the lesson. John chapter 3 and Acts 18. Put two bookmarks in your Bibles. When you read John chapter 3, there was so much that Jesus said to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, which was one of the religious leaders of that day. The Pharisees professed to be so very deep and acted as if there weren't any others that were on their level. They were known for outer righteousness, which isn't righteousness at all. Their wardrobe made them look deep, and they wore certain things with their garb that also made them look deep. So when Nicodemus came to him by night, it meant something. It really did. The word rabbi is a Jewish title meaning teacher. Nicodemus addressed Jesus as rabbi and even said, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God." Yet there was a point in their conversation where Nicodemus expected to be on Jesus' level in understanding because of Nicodemus' religious affiliation with the Pharisees. But in reading this dialogue, those that are teachers of Scripture will appreciate and marvel at Jesus' ability and demonstration of Godship while talking with Nicodemus. While Jesus will meet you where you are, don't expect him to stay there, but instead, he will bring you up in him. He will bring you up in him, sure enough. So don't expect a teacher to come down to your level and stay there. Grab your Bibles and let's begin our journey of study concerning God's elite army of spiritual leaders and avengers, otherwise known as the fivefold ministry. I'm led to warn you, though, this information will differ from your denomination and from your opinions of God's order, but the information has always been listed in the Holy Bible, God's bestseller. This is part 7 in the teaching series of God's Avengers, the Adventures of the Fivefold Ministry, and this is the office of the teacher. Again, I'd like to ask you to turn to John chapter 3 in your Bibles, because that's where we're going to be tonight, and we're going to read verses 1 through 13. I'm reading out of the King James Version, and it reads on this wise. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit, capital S. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. The thought God gave me for this lesson is called, don't expect a teacher to come down to your level and stay there. The title is, The Anointing Makes the Teacher Deep, and they are anointed to explain the word. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you, ask you to forgive us for our sins and for our shortcomings and our faults and our wrongs. And in Jesus' name, we ask, O Lord, that you be with us in this conversation. Make me usable and use me. Fill me with the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. Give me a spiritual understanding of your word. Lord, we really need you to forgive us, because right now we need you during this time of fellowship before you and gathering. As we sit at your feet, as we sit on the couch, as we lay across our bed, as we sit at the kitchen table while we're eating on a sandwich or drinking some libation, as we are sitting here, we just need you to minister to us. We need you to complete this series, this teaching series. It was given by you, so please complete it. Make this lesson simple yet deep and yet simple. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for hearing us and for answering us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Oh, God, it is such a blessing when one loves the scriptures. You know, out of the fivefold ministry, the most driest office, the most dogmatic office is the teacher. I was talking to a friend of mine a little while ago, a prophetess out of the state of Georgia, and she said to me, you know, you don't sound too judgmental when God is using you to minister on the radio. And you know, I didn't say nothing because I heard God say, I'm going to run with that. I'm going to use that. And I said, praise the Lord. And, you know, Scripture tells us things about God that we otherwise would not know. And the thing of the matter is, when you are standing with God and walking with God, you don't become judgmental, but what you become is in favor of what God is saying, and you agree with him. An example is John chapter 16, verse 5. Jesus said, But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? Now, I'm led by God. I hear him right now. The Holy Ghost is telling me to stop, grab the Living Bible, and read this passage out of the Living Bible, because it is very important. It's very deep. And those that are students of the Word of God they need to hear this, because a lot of you are under persecution because of what God uses you to say. John chapter 16, verse 5, again said, But now I am going away to the one who sent me, and none of you seems interested in the purpose of my going. None wonders why. Instead, you are only filled with sorrow. But the fact of the matter is that it is best for you that I go away, for if I don't, the Comforter won't come. If I do, he will, for I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convince the world of its sin and of the availability of God's goodness and of deliverance from judgment. The world's sin is unbelief in me. There is righteousness available because I go to the Father and you shall see me no more. There is deliverance from judgment because the prince of this world has already been judged. Now, I'm going to read that for those scholars. I'm going to read that out of the King James Version. Jesus said, nevertheless, verse 7, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now, if the prince of this world, who is the devil, is already judged, then so is everyone that follows him. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to him late at night. And the reason he came late at night, because if you remember, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin, they all had a big problem with Jesus. Why? Because he went against the grain. Because he came teaching things that they were not able to teach. He came professing to know what God was saying in heaven and claiming to have the word of God. And they wondered, who do you think you are? Your education isn't all that to where you are authorized to stand here and tell us, the religious leaders, what the scriptures are saying. And today people are doing the same thing. Religious leaders, those that buy a doctrine. Now let's deal with that, because in the fivefold ministry, we have the apostle, the prophet and prophetess, evangelist, pastor and teacher. This is the fivefold ministry. These are ministry gifts and offices that God has placed in the body of Christ to do a work in the body of Christ, a threefold work, the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, some people buy a doctrine because that would make it look make them look prestigious, doctor before their name. And doctor in the Greek means teacher. Oh, God, a lot of people that have bought their doctrine have not been given the teaching anointing by God. So a lot of times what we end up seeing are preachers that are trying to go under the title of teacher. Now, it is a title when you buy it, when you steal it, or when you earn it, or when you intrude in it. But when you are called by God as a teacher, then that is who you are. It's not a title. And teachers will be very deep. Teachers will go over your head. A teacher will stand there and a lot of times not even say everything that they know. A fool does a whole lot of talking, but a wise man is quiet a lot of the time. Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, a ruler, a teacher of the law, he came to Jesus at night and he said to Jesus, Rabbi. Now, rabbi is a Jewish term for teacher. He said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. So when he said we, who was he talking about? But this is how he approached him. We know. Usually a lot of times ministers will say we or they or something, and they really be meaning themselves. When a minister comes up to you and says, oh, my goodness, we know that God really called you. Be careful. Watch out for the hook, because something is coming right behind that. There's something in words. It's very important to listen when people talk. Don't talk so much, but listen, because God will bless you to hear whether it's God talking or not. And he would even reveal to you the heart of a person just by what they say. For out of the abundance of the heart, a man, what? Speaketh. Nicodemus said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Now, again, if they knew this, then why did they give him so hard of a time, right? Right. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, the other Pharisees might not have known that Jesus was a teacher come from God, but Nicodemus knew it. And that's why he came at night. He didn't come in the day. He came at night, when none of his friends were around to see him, when none of his friends were paying attention to him. He came to Jesus at night. It's a blessing how Jesus as a minister is always available. Not only is he always available for us, but he knows and has appointed the right time to catch us, to talk to us, to meet us where we are. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily. Now, when Jesus said, Verily, verily, he's saying, this is very, very important. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. God anoints teachers to put things out there. And a lot of times when God anoints a teacher to say something, those that the teacher is talking to are under the impression that either the teacher don't know what he's talking about or the teacher is asking a question so that that person can share what they know. But that is erroneous. That is not the truth at all. When a teacher is used by God to ask a question, a lot of times the teacher is trying to get your attention because the teacher is trying to meet you where you are, to bring up something that you don't know so that God can use the teacher to share with you something so that you can increase in wisdom and knowledge of God's truth and his word. He said to Nicodemus, he just put it out there, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Now look at this. The teacher, the great teacher Jesus, met Nicodemus where he was. He was at a place. First, again, he was coming at night. He tried to butter Jesus up. We know that you are a teacher come from God. When a minister tells you we know, a lot of times it really means they know. They just don't want to single themselves out because man has a hard time with trying to, a man has a hard time with admitting they don't know nothing. A lot of times you'll see ministers, I remember being at a Bible study one time the Lord sent me to, and the minister was reading scripture, and he ran across the word lasciviousness. He was talking about how a person, people that are lascivious, lasciviousness will not inherit the kingdom of God. It was something like that he was reading. But when he mentioned this word lasciviousness, I believe it's in Galatians 5, he was talking about the works of the flesh. The Lord told me to raise my hand because the people are sitting there, of course, wondering, what is lasciviousness? The Lord led me to raise my hand, and I knew what the word meant. And the brothers asked, he said, yes, Apostle, what's up, brother? And the Lord led me to ask him, what does lascivious mean? We need to know what that means so we can understand the scripture. Now, God was using me as a teacher to try to help this pastor to adequately feed the sheep, because these sheep were starving, and they were getting only surface teaching. And the guy said, well, everybody's going to have to get the tape that I'm getting ready to do. I'm going to do a tape on lasciviousness. That was so funny. And I just said, Lord, all the man had to say was I didn't know. That's all he had to say. A lot of times, like God let me say in a prior broadcast, God be having people right there in the building that are anointed to do something, and the leader always tend to overlook the person because of intimidation by their anointing or because the leader sees something in you that they covet and wish were in them. Nicodemus asked this question, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? That was a very dumb question, because everyone knows this is not possible. So he asked this in all seriousness because he had a lack of insight. He didn't understand the truth. This was a mystery to him. This was a secret thing. And the Lord said in verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Let's deal with that for a minute. A lot of people think that it says unless a man be born of water, that water right here means water baptism. The truth of the matter is it doesn't. Water is a symbol of the Bible, of the Word of God. So unless a man is born of the Word of God and of the Spirit, capital S, meaning the Holy Ghost, because he who is God uses the word of God as the cleansing agent. The word of God washes you. In John 15:3, Jesus told his disciples, you are now clean by the word which I have spoken unto you. In Jesus' name, the word of God washes us. The word of God cleanses us on the inside so that God can prepare us to walk into his family. The Holy Ghost, he uses the word as a seed, as a water, as a cleansing agent to get us in position to receive of God. The Lord said in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He was talking to Nicodemus now about spiritual life versus the flesh. He said in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. He said, listen, don't get carried away. Don't think there's deepness in what I said, you must be born again. The important thing is the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. He was saying, don't let the words catch you because I say you must be born again, but you have to understand the mystery behind being born again. Look for the meaning and don't get so caught up on the word. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? That showed the ignorance of this Jewish leader. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master, which means teacher and doctor and rabbi of Israel, and knowest not these things? It is deep when you see a minister that is saying that God is using them to teach or preach. They might have a great big ministry or a lot of people there at the ministry hungry, and it's a sad thing, and it grieves God when the people are not being fed. This is why we need teachers. It's enough preaching going on. A lot of preaching ends up being entertainment, but we need teachers in this day to explain the deep things like this. Verse 11, Jesus said, verily, verily, there you go again, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. He's talking about being rejected. He's talking about how these religious leaders are dull spiritually. And it still goes on today. A minister will give you a license that says reverend without knowing that Psalms 111 verse 9 says holy and reverend is God's name. So all of you that have a license that say reverend, you might as well rip it up and throw it away because you got beat. You got a bum steer. Wow, apostle, for real? Yes. Look it up, Psalms 111 verse 9. Just look in scripture. Verse 12, Jesus said, or verse 12, yes, if I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? So he said to Nicodemus, you're not understanding what I'm saying to you. And no man, now he's talking about his deity, his authority. Jesus is getting ready to drop something on Nicodemus that Nicodemus is not even going to catch, as well as a lot of ministers. And that's verse 13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven. And you know, ascended means to go up. But he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. That part right there. Even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He was saying that he was in heaven. Yet while he was saying this, he was on earth. Catch that revelation. Here he was on earth telling Nicodemus, no man has come down, no man has went up to heaven, except he that came down from heaven. And he's talking about the Son of Man, which is in heaven, talking about his omnipresence. The fact that he's in heaven and on earth at the same time. He is God. A deep mystery that God has put out there for Nicodemus to receive. Then that would bring up the question, well, then how do I get to, I mean, what is this all about? It's about being born again. You have to be born again. You have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior if you want to reach God. And there's only one person that knows the things of God, and that's Jesus Christ. God had to come down here in the earth realm so that he could stand on earth while sitting in heaven at the same time and agree with himself, all glory, so that what he wanted to do can be loosed into the earth realm. That's why he said, with two or three gather, touching and agreeing about anything on earth, there he is in the midst, because there's power in agreement. Let's turn to Acts chapter 18, verse 24. Scripture says, a certain Jew named Apollos, now he was an apostle, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla, now Priscilla was a woman, Aquila was a man. This was a husband and wife ministry team. They were teachers. So that's biblical proof that a woman can be a teacher of scripture. Verse 26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of the Lord more perfectly. That means they instructed him more perfectly, because all he knew was the baptism of John for the remission of sins. But they ministered to him on a higher level. Teaching is important, because teaching will bring you up in understanding of God's word. Teaching will bring you up in the gospel. And a lot of people that say that they are learned in the word, that are in ministry, are really not. There's nothing worse than when a sheep come to the leader and say, pastor or prophet or prophetess or apostle or teacher or evangelist, what does this scripture mean? And then the person says, well, a lot of times if they're not humble, they're not going to say, I don't know. They're not going to say, well, let's research it and find out. Not if they're not humble. If they're proud, they're going to try to either come up with something or try to avoid the situation because they don't want to answer. And then, as God said in Ezekiel 34, the sheep become scrawny. They become underweight. Why? Because they're not being fed spiritual sound doctrine. All Apollos, the apostle, knew was the baptism of John. So he knew about the baptism for the remission of sins, and so God used him mightily. The Bible says that he was an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. This brother was powerful. He came to Ephesus, and he was instructed in the way of the Lord, and he was fervent in the spirit. So he was very serious, and he taught diligently the things of the Lord. But when Aquila and Priscilla had heard him ministering, they pulled him aside and brought him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, perfect there means maturely, more wholly, wholey, wholey, or wholy, wholey, wholey. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. It's important these days that we allow God to use teachers. Teachers are used by God. They're very important, because a teacher is anointed by God to explain what the word of God means. And a lot of people are coming to God or wanting to come to God, but not taught how to come to God. Listen, listen. And I hate to say this, but I got to say this. God, give it to me. According to the word of God, if you're a homosexual, you cannot come to God unless you come in and say, forgive me, God. Please change me. Help me, deliver me, bring me out of this. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to live this abominable lifestyle. Cleanse me. Forgive me for all my sins. Now, if you're coming to God and you're asking him to forgive you and to change you, he'll do it. He'll hear you. But if you're praying and coming, coming to him and all of that, and you're not trying to change, then you're wasting your breath. You're wasting your breath. There's a lot of ministries where the Spirit of God, he's been kicked out of there because the builders want to do their own thing. The Bible is what every ministry is supposed to be based on, not a sign, not a wonder, not a title, or not because they're family members. None of that is what a ministry is supposed to be built on. It's supposed to be built on the Word of God. Jesus, I mean, when he asked Nicodemus that question, can you imagine that? Jesus, he just asked him, aren't you a master of Israel? Aren't you a teacher? You don't know what I'm saying to you? There's a lot of people that are ministering that don't know what they're talking about. There's people teaching under Jezebel's spirit, saying to a lot of believers, and sheep will believe in it, that the Jezebel spirit will get into a man, and that is not true. You have to know who Jezebel was in order to understand that spirit. I don't care. Look, it's all in Scripture. The Jezebel spirit is Jezebel's spirit, okay? And if you know anything about Jezebel, she was a queen. She promoted Baal worship. She had her own false prophets and prophets, the 850 false prophets. They worked for her. That's why she was mad at Elijah when God used him to slay them, which tells you the Jezebel spirit hates those of the prophetic anointing. The true prophets, oh, that Jezebel spirit will hate you. Jezebel, that spirit is only in a woman because that spirit hates male authority. Jezebel did not submit to her husband. So she didn't submit to her husband. She tried to use Ahab's seal. She got the vineyard from Ahab by having Naboth killed. She did what she wanted to do. Told her husband, very manipulative, go lay down, honey. Don't worry. Everything will be all right. He went and laid down, and Jezebel went to work. She connived and schemed and got that vineyard. And when her husband woke up, she didn't even tell him how she got it. She just showed it to him. Here, here's the vineyard. It's yours now. And the dude was happy. Here's the bad part about it. The spirit that gets in men that works along with the Jezebel spirit is an Ahab spirit, which is an effeminate spirit. Now, here's what that means. The Ahab spirit submits to the wife and Jezebel because she's not going to submit to her husband. She's not going to do it. When you see the ministries where women are over the ministries and the husband is not even in ministry, be careful. When you see those ministries where the woman is over ministry and not married, and she's not promoting marriage, and she's busy telling the sisters, y'all don't need no man, you can just be by yourself. God is your husband. According to the Bible, nowhere does it say God is your husband. Wait a minute, I know. It says that the Lord is married to, y'all say that, the Lord said he's married to the backslider, but he didn't say that. He told Israel, come back, O backslidden Israel, for I am married to you. Now, I suggest you go into the Hebrew and look up what that word married means. When God instituted marriage, he put it between a male and a female. The Bible says our relationship with God is spiritual. And God knew that Adam was going to need somebody on his level. So God said, it is not good that the man be alone. And good means whole. It's not blessed. It's not beneficial. It's not pleasant that the man be alone. I will make him and help me, which means a suitable helper. So God put him to sleep because Adam was in God's image at the time and he didn't sleep. So God caused him to fall into a deep sleep. He took a rib out of him and he created woman. And then he brought her unto him. And then God stepped back. Come on, y'all. This is what the Bible says. God stepped back and he allowed Adam to receive his wife and say, this is now the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. He received her. You shall be called woman, for you was taken out of man. Then he named her. God didn't. God didn't. So God gave him a wife because God said it wasn't good that he be alone. He knew that Adam was going to need a helpmeet. Adam was going to need someone on his level, someone to enjoy life with. Listen, God went a whole different way. Listen, those of you that are praying to God for marriage, you're not doing wrong. You're okay. Those of you that are asking God to fix your marriage, you're not doing wrong. You're okay. First find out God's will and then pray about the situation. Because the enemy is attacking marriage, he's mocking marriage, he's trying to imitate marriage. This same-sex stuff is crazy. Even when you walk down the street and you see girls that's trying to look like guys, cutting off all their hair. The Bible says a woman's hair is her glory, cutting off all her hair. And then that demon, that unnatural spirit, gets in her body and try to shape her to where she look like a man and walk like a man and talk like a man. You're going straight to hell. I got to be honest with you. Even men who try to outwoman a woman, you let that spirit, you invite that spirit in your life, and that spirit turns the male body into a give you hits and curves and all of that. No man should be built like that. God didn't do it. He did not do it. And God is going to have the last say. Come on, ministers. It's time to teach the truth. It's time to teach the truth. It's time to, listen, it's time to let people know without holiness, you won't see God. It is important to put this out there. Ministers sleeping with the women in the ministry, stop. Some of you come clean afterwards. All right, I admit it. I was wrong. Yeah, because you got exposed. If you didn't get exposed, you'd still be doing it. And again, those sisters that want position and everything else, they're allowing you to have your way with them, and they're tearing up your home. Your poor wife who stuck with you through everything is there right there in the ministry with you trying to serve God, and here you are being greedy. How do you know that that woman you're messing with don't have a disease? So you're going to mess with her and then give it to your wife? God is not in there. When a ministry is doing something like that, it grieves God. Time to declare the ministry to be holy ground. This is scripture. Holy ground. That which is of the flesh is of the flesh, and that which is of the spirit is of the spirit. Holy ground. If a person is not born again, they ain't got no business putting their hand in the ministry. If a person is not born again, they have no business on a praise and worship team. You need to bring the choir back. When a person is not born again, they ain't got no business ushering or in the pulpit or singing a solo. Some people, when you tell them that, could you read the scripture, please, they just got to get in the pulpit. It's not time. They need to get out of the pulpit. Stay out. Let the pulpit be holy, because the pulpit brings death. You have to die to get in that pulpit. You cannot get in that pulpit and you live in all kind of ways. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that have done these very things against God, and they've left this world. And according to the Bible, right now, they're in hell. And it's too late. It's too late. Father, in Jesus' name, forgive us for our sins and shortcomings and faults and wrong. Thank you for this opportunity to fellowship. Thank you for this opportunity to be used by you. Thank you for the deepness of your word. Thank you for how you stood there talking to Nicodemus and at the same time using heaven. Lord, we just thank you. Keep us before you and minister to us and empower us to do what you have called us to do. Raise up the teachers. Let the preachers sit down for a little while. They've entertained enough, but let the teachers be raised up by you. And use them mightily. For those that leave the ministry because the teaching is so raw, that's all right, because it frees up feet for those that are hungry. Lord, we agree with you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, we pray, amen. For those of you that honestly need prayer and desire prayer, that are in trouble or a spiritual problem, whatever, call the ministry, 203-745-8162. The next broadcast is at 1:30, and that's going to be the recap on this series of the 5-4 ministry. 203-745-8162. Call the ministry for prayer, and God will use me to pray with you in Jesus' name. And also look on the description. Look on my wall for the description of this lesson. You'll see the link where you can continue sending your prayer requests to the ministry's website. Thank God for those of you that have done that. And also for those that the Lord will use to support the ministry, there's a link also that says your donation is a support of the ministry. Don't close your hand. Open it. You say that you know God will bless you. Well, put your faith into action. Partner with the ministry so God can use us to help those that are homeless and sleeping on benches and everything and let God use you, okay? Let him use you, and he'll bless you. Just let him use you. I mean, you don't, it's not like I'm commanding you, because I'm not. I'm not doing that. That's not what God told me to do. He didn't say beg. He said put it out there, invite. Invite, because there's people that God have blessed out there and gave the gift of giving to, the spirit and the gift of giving. He's giving it to you. You're wondering, Lord, where can I sow? Where can I sow, Lord? Show me a ministry that's helping people that I can sow. The Lord just answered your question. God bless you. I love you. In Jesus' name, this is Apostle Alan E. Coleman, Jr. of the Word of God through Jesus Christ Street and Outreach Ministry. God bless you.